Hi, and welcome to the MVC Storefront, Part 18. This is a real-world application building exercise where we build out an e-commerce storefront using ASP.NET MVC, TDD, and a bunch of other cool stuff. My name is Rob Connery. I work for Microsoft. My email is robcon@microsoft.com. Email me with any questions you might have, or you can leave a comment on this blog. Over the last few weeks, I have been involved in what I like to term the big push. I took a week off to go to the ASP Insider Summit, and in the ensuing 2 weeks, what I've been doing, essentially, is tying all the pieces together. I kind of built out all the services I needed to plug into the site, and I was going to capture that, but it just seemed like it was really boring. And, you know, stuff like, hey, this is how you do sales tax, this is how you do, you know, on and on and on. While I think sales tax and those things are important, I'm assuming that a lot of you folks know how to do that already. And also, what I've received a lot of feedback, people saying, I really want to know what your process is like. So I thought for this episode, I would dive into the process that I go through when I start to pull a site together in kind of a gestalt way, where I pull all the pieces together and start knitting them. And what I like to think of it as is more like a birthing process, where, you know, if you've ever had kids before, you know that when a child is ready to be born, what actually happens is that the cord gives off this hormone, and that hormone is picked up by the uterus and the pelvis, and that contracts, and that contraction gives off that hormone again back to the cord, and it's this cyclical recursive process that is really, really cool. And eventually what happens is it gets stronger and stronger and builds upon itself, and voila, you have a baby. So the way I kind of do this is a little bit of kind of both things. What I do is I think of this as outside in, and I kind of knit the pieces together, doing tests and services and so on. And then I flip over into the user's chair and I start using the site. And I want to see how it flows together. Not necessarily in terms of look and feel and format, but just usability. Is the process going together correctly? And it's the way I do it. I know maybe a kind of a purist sense of TDD or whatever the heck. Maybe it's not exactly following that, but I have to go with the way my brain works. And this is the way my brain works, where I have to sit and actually click through the process to make sure it works. So today what I'm going to do is walk through the site and show you the changes I've made, and then finally get into kind of the overall gestalt-y thing that that I kind of practice when I deliver a site. So my goal, just so you know, my goal after this webcast is to deliver an alpha, hopefully in the next week or so. I'm really trying to get this thing pulled together, and as anybody knows who's built a site, the last gasp is always the hardest, because you're kind of knitting together the details, and there's a lot of things that you need to change and tweak as you go along. So without any further discussion, let's get into it. Over the last 2 weeks, I've been focusing on tidying things up, refactoring a little bit, and then adding the additional services I need in order to kick the site into full gear. The first thing I did is I added the database here into the app data directory. It's a little bit easier to work with, and then also for those of you downloading the source, you can use it straight away without having to worry about setting up databases and so on. I know that's a bit of a pain. In addition, the biggest thing I've done is clean up the services class. I kind of wanted to divide it out into directories that make sense. And I've also implemented a few services, so I will step through those really quickly to show you what I've done. And also, I should say, I have a test to cover, hopefully, all of these things. So one of the things I did is I added the concept of address validation. I have an interface here that simply has a single method on it, verify address. And the idea here is that if you have a shipping address that needs to go to a physical location, you're going to want to verify that that indeed exists. So I created a null address validation service and just returns the address, doesn't do a thing. And that's good for kind of developing the development process. You don't really want to make calls all the time when you're going through the checkout process. Or maybe you don't even want to verify addresses. It's up to you. I put in a U.S. address validation service. This is free. This is from the good folks there at rpc.geocoder. They have this code here that I've used in a lot of projects. It's kind of nice. It also returns latitude and longitude, which is pretty cool, and I'm capturing that for address information. So if you need to run like geo queries, you can. Now, I know that a lot of folks want to do international, and so I didn't want to get into that. There's other services out there that'll do address verification for you, and Google's one, Yahoo, Microsoft, MapPoint will do it as well, which is a nice web service. So I'll leave that up to you to implement this, or maybe we can just add more implementations as time goes on. So that's the address validation service. And the next one I put in is I've buffed out the authentication services. You can see here we have I have a stub for Active Directory. It doesn't really have anything in it, so I'm probably going to pull that out. I was intending on having this bounce off Active Directory, but instead I think I'm just going to take it out because I don't have time to put it together. But I have ASP.NET authentication. And this does all the cool things that Ayanda and I talked about in terms of passing in a username and password, and also the ability to register a user. And finally, I have CardSpace, I have OpenID, all of that is ready to go inside the authentication services. And the iAuthentication service is pretty simple. It's got three overrides for an isvalid login where you can pass in a username and password, a service URL, and then some sort of encrypted token, and that's what we need for CardSpace. And then you finally have a registration method here. So that is it for the authentication service. Authorization service is also kind of stubbed out. This is for roles, what a user can do and cannot do. I have not implemented that completely yet. And let's see, payment gateway, I have implemented this, and I have a payment service here that we've talked about a lot on my blog, and that is authorize and whether it should return a transaction or not. I'm probably going to change this according to the conversation I had on my blog, and I'll get into that in just a bit. For right now, I have a fake payment service that basically just approves everything, and this is, again, for a development process. But you're probably going to, whatever gateway you use, you'd want to put that in here. And so authorize should probably have some sort of response object that allows you to know if the transaction failed or what kind of error, if there was an error, was involved. Next up, implemented sales tax, and another real simple interface here, calculates the sales tax amount. Now this one is a little bit dicey. Sales tax is a complicated thing. If you've ever done it before, you probably know that if you're going to do sales tax, you have to know precisely what you're doing. So I'm going to say here and now, please consult a CPA. Or if you work at a company, please make sure your accounting team knows what it is you're doing and how you're doing it. This is incredibly important because sales tax is, you're responsible for sales tax for any sales that you do in a state or jurisdiction where you have a physical presence, what is also known as a nexus. This is dictated by your tax ID. Now, a good rule of thumb is if you're in California and you're selling things in California, your company's in California, and you have a buyer from California, you should charge them California state sales tax. Now that's just a good rule of thumb, but it's up to you to implement this. Please understand as you need to. What I've included here is a regional sales tax service, which basically uses a repository, which uses a database, where you put in rates where you need to apply tax to an order. Well, this was an interesting thing to implement because there's such things as taxable goods and non-taxable goods. So I had to, as you see here, implement stuff on order and product, implement a property on order as well as product to tell me if the goods are taxable, and then also sums them up. So I had to do a little bit of refactoring there, but that is going in full swing. And finally, I've implemented shipping. Again, not an easy thing to do. We have a shipping service that calculates the rates. We have a repository that will store the rates and return the rates as well. So we have a simple shipping service that will simply go in, calculate the rates based on weight. So again, I had to go back and refactor product to handle weight. And the way I've done that is to implement it in pounds. I haven't implemented that in kilos yet, but it's probably simple enough to do. If you set the property on a product in pounds, you can probably run a conversion and convert that to kilos, or the other way around. So that I've kind of just stubbed that out, but that is working nicely. And also, goods that aren't that aren't shippable don't need to have shipping applied to them. So a little bit of logic there, but that's pretty much it. So those are the services I've implemented up to date. I know that a lot of you are going to have questions. Please know that what I'm trying to do now is get to an initial starting point with the site and then slowly add an increment in baby steps. But I need to get a basic site running, and that is my goal. And so to do that is what the next section here is all about, my process of doing that. I've been doing a lot of changes over the last few weeks to the site as I refactor and trying to get this thing to an initial alpha stage. What I wanted to talk about now is kind of where I'm at. I received a lot of questions about what's your development process like and so on. And if I could summarize it, it would pretty much be that I've been working a lot just based on unit tests, just kind of testing each little bit of functionality and making sure that it works. So for instance, with sales tax, I created a regional sales tax service here with an interface, and I've also got a repository for the tax. And you know what I do is I just start out writing a bunch of unit tests and fulfill those unit tests, and we'll sort of consider it finished. And I did that for sales tax, I did that for shipping, for the payment gateways, and address validators, and also a little bit more for orders. So it's kind of a nice design process, TDD. I really like it. You know, you can kind of fill it out as you need to go along, and you kind of know the requirements that you need to fulfill. So that's great. And what you end up with is sort of little patches that you need to eventually knit into a quilt, is the best way to think about it, I guess. One of the ways I think about it. So now what I've done now is I've finished up those services. I know I need to write more tests for them, but I will. Where I'm at now, though, is I'm knitting all those together into an experience. And that is really difficult. And when I say difficult, I don't mean like I can't do it. I just mean it's time-consuming. So let's take a look at what exactly I'm talking about. I'm going to run the site here, and I have it set up to come straight to checkout. And so my car, everything is the same pretty much at the store. The display is the same. My cart looks the same. If you take a look what I have here, I have a nice boot. So now as I'm checking out, what I'm after right now, and this is something I do, and I'm a very outside-in kind of person. I really rely on the experience to kind of tell me if I'm doing something right. So I want to go through this checkout process a lot, and that's what I've been doing literally over the last 4 or 5 days, is going over it and I say, oh, I don't like it, or oh, that should be displaying something else. And what that has, and at this point, what that usually ends up meaning is I refactor something and I have to go back through and break my tests, which ends up happening. But I go back in and refactor a bunch of stuff and I end up at a kind of a different place. So each change I make, each refinement I make, tends to cause a little bit more work, which is okay because it ends up refining things. So where I'm at now is, this is my first checkout page, and you can see I'm asking, you know, do we know who you are? And if we don't, you know, that's okay, we can just take it anonymously. So I'm going to hit continue, and this is my shipping page, and this only shows up if what's in my cart is shippable. Otherwise it goes straight to the billing. So like if you have downloadable stuff. And that's a refactor point that I had to recognize. I know that a lot of people sell you know, software or, you know, programs they want to sell online, and so they might not need shipping. And so, you know, I had to go in and kind of conceive of the idea of a delivery method and, you know, recalculate shipping based on delivery method and weight and all that stuff. Anyway, this is a test address. I like Jack Johnson a lot. And so one of the other things I wanted to do is I needed to make sure country and state went in with ISO two-character encoding properly. Not encoding, but codes. And I also wanted to make sure I had a nice drop-down, because people don't want to have to type in USA or United States or whatever. So when you change this drop-down, it changes the states and regions, which is kind of nice. This is some free code that I picked up online. I have it attributed in the scripts section in the site. So you hit billing, and here's a nice Loon-generated card number. It's not real. And the interesting thing, I had to plug in and make sure that validation was caught at this point. Not a big deal, but it checks expiration and the card number. So pretty much this is a very typical checkout process. I've tried to streamline this to make it a little less overbearing. I'm kind of following what I did with the Commerce Starter Kit. Overall, I'm trying to make this as modular and pluggable for you as a developer to pick up and change as you need to. Finally, you can see here I have shipping methods, something I didn't have before, and I made it so that when you change this, it changes the price. As you can see down here, you can see shipping is now $1, $10. Now, shipping is calculated based on the shippable items, here and the weight. And I wanted to make this, again, a very pluggable modular system. And so when you place the order, you get to go to a receipt page, as you can see here, using a GUID, and, you know, there's my receipt. So that process right there was pretty standard, fairly normal. It actually took a while to make sure that all this stuff lined up the way we wanted it to, or the way I wanted it to. And I know, before you think I'm going to ship this thing with this look and feel, I completely know that it's garbage. So one of the things I'm hoping for is one of these episodes I'm going to try and maybe make a skinning apparatus here that we can skin this thing and it doesn't look this way. So believe it or not, this is what I've been doing. I've been focusing on the UI of it all, meaning not just the look of it, but how it feels, how this whole checkout process feels, and I kind of like it. I mean, adding stuff to your cart is pretty simple. Checking out is really easy to do, although nothing really kind of visually captures your interest to keep checking out and keep going. I do really, really like the way my OpenID works its way in. As you can see, boom, bang, I'm in there with my OpenID. That was easy. And this is, again, test code, but one of the things I'm going to do now that I have my OpenID is plug in an address book that shows up here in one corner. You can click that. And one other thing I wanted to show you that I haven't showed you just yet that I really like, I'll just show you this right now. I set up the site. I set up the site to have a secure certificate, and there we are. When you create a certificate, which I think I went through at a previous webcast, you have to do it according to the name of the machine. So it's coming up right now. Oh, you know what? I get an error. So this is something that's good to capture on the screen. The reason I have an error is that what I've done is I have put the database here in the app data folder. You know, anybody that's done that before realizes there's a lot of connection handoffs that happen. So right now what's happening is my ASP process here, because I hit run, has opened up the a connection to the app data. And since it's a file-based database, it locked up the connection. So we don't want that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come down here to my service tray, which you can't see, and I'm cutting that. And I'm going to come back in here and close this connection. So now what I want to do is I want to open up Explorer again. And yay, the Olympics have started today. So let's see, what did it, the name of my machine. And kudos to anybody who knows what Peahi is. And there's a little test code that I did for states. We're going to ignore that right now. Okay, so if I go over here to the store, great, and so I add this, and this is pretty cool. I really like this. Whoops. And again, I keep running into this. Let's see. Sorry about this. Oh, yeah, gotta put the root back in. I will fix this bug. I'm gonna pause for a second. As you can see there, that's just one of the things that, you know, you run into when you're streamlining or you're starting to kind of give birth to this application, is you find little wrinkles here and there, and there's one. You know, when you run it under a secure root with under a subroot, boom, my paths fail. So I have to go in there and I have to change all that stuff, and I will. But it's really annoying. Okay, so you know, let's just continue here, and you'll see my test data. But now that I'm under HTTPS, I have card space here, and so what I can do is instead of using as test data, I can use card space. So you can't see it if I click this, but when I click it, I can pass my card down, and it'll populate this. So what I'll do here is I'll click on this. You won't be able to notice that I'm doing it, which I'm doing right now. I click a card that has got my home address, and what's going to happen is it just submits the form back, and you can see what I've done is I've taken that information and I've pulled it in, and I've also set the billing address to it for convenience. And since I already have the information and I trust the info card, I'm just forwarding it on now to the billing address. So that's kind of cool. You know, you can use info card for this if you like, and you can populate it. Now, for the billing address, you might have a different billing address set for the info card. Now, I know a lot of people aren't a big fan of card space. I'm trying to make this as unintrusive as I possibly can, but it's here, and what I'm using it is not necessarily for a login, but just as an ability to store an address. Now, I should mention, if you are a logged-in user, we can store the addresses, and you can have an address book. And so that will be open on the side somehow, somewhere, and you'll have a little button like Amazon does. You can click that to use this address. So it's all about convenience in the checkout process. And so for finalizing the order, you can see our confirming our addresses here. This is the shipping that I just set with my info card. And there, I'm going to choose USPS Ground, place the order, done. So the nice thing here is that, looks like I didn't pick up. So here's another bug I just found trying to do this demo. I'm not picking up the shipping method, and I noticed that the bits are off here. So this is just another thing I got to do. And so now you know what's taken me so long. And to me, this outside-in process, now I know I should probably catch this with a unit test, and that means my testing is off. So now I have two things I need to do, which is to go in and make sure that my testing is a little bit more complete, and also to go in and visually kind of spruce this whole process up. So that's what I've been up to. This is how I do it. I know that maybe in a strict TDD style, you would probably go to as far as you possibly could with tests, but I just can't do that. I'm not mentally built that way. As I've always told people, I'm a very visual person, and I keep trying to make sure the developer experience comes first. And in this sense, I need to sit in this chair and kind of get a feel for this site. And is it a serious site? Does it make sense? You know, all those things. Anyway, so I should have something ready to go. I kind of wanted to walk through this process. It's important to me. And thanks for watching.